Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for keeping the doors open, for bringing us safely out. I just pray you please that you would be one of our number this evening and use this as a time to minister to us. And not to us only, Lord, but to work in our hearts and minds. Pray you'd be especially with Taylor today and Christy, Monica, Ling and Frank. And please also be with Mary Ann, Lord, and comfort her and just touch her. And help her to get back on her feet too, and Christine as well. Lord, we really do need you. I pray for Stan and the folks up in Bangor, for Pastor Hayne and Pastor Asquith and Pastor Seeley. I pray for these men that you would bless them and keep them. And Lord, indeed, all those that stand to preach the full counsel of your word. Please save souls, and please, Lord, I pray you edify the saints. We love you and thank you. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Count your blessings. You just remain seated as we sing 439.
When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. See what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Amen indeed. I saw that. That's probably Christy and Taylor. We had 43, and what was the other one? Where are, I'm trying to find. Yeah, I'm here. Was it 283?
I think it is, yes.
283. All right, let's do 283 next.
283. Have you any room for Jesus? That was somebody's pick, wasn't it?
Yes.
Good job.
That's not mocking at all. I was singing the song.
I'll edit this bit out in post.
Come to Bethel, get insulted, persecuted, and ridiculed.
And that's just by church members. Come on in, folks. Amen. 283, we're just about to kick off with. 283, have you any room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin has
seen us and has
admission. Sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word, obey. Swing the heart doors widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter. In the heart for which he died, room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word, obey. Swing the heart door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. Have you any room for Jesus? As in grace he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word, obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. To Jesus, soon will pass God's day of grace. Soon thy heart left cold and silent, and thy Savior's pleading cease. Room for Jesus, King of glory. Hasten now his word, obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may.
Amen. Well, if you're fit, brother, you come on ahead and bring us the reading.
Turning tonight to Psalm number 57. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpast. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me from the reproach of him that would swallow me up. Selah. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. My soul is among lions, and I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men, whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. Selah. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up my glory. Awake psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, that thy glory be above all the earth. Amen.
Amen. I just want to remind you of our wee prayer lists this evening. Would ask that you would continue to pray for Ling and Frank and Dr. Shang as they travel. I also appreciate your prayers for Monica. She's still not the best. I think Stan is coming round from whatever put his back out and still recovering from that episode that he had about a month and a half ago with his lungs. So please do pray for Brother Stan as well. Pray for Pat. She has a few difficulties with her leg right now. Continue to pray for Pat. She has a problem with her Steve right now as well. But pray for Steve if you would. And do remember the Curry family as well. They lost a grandson there. What was that, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago? So please do pray for them. We would also ask you to pray for Taylor and her family at this time. She lost her granddad there just a few days back. So please do pray for her and her family at this time. Just want to remind you that, Lord willing, well, basically, until it's done, any days that are reasonable in the week, there's going to be work going on at the church. It doesn't seem like a lot has taken place. There's been about, 4 days work and just getting that bit done there. And the work is going ahead, and sometimes it's quite labour intensive. And all Norman has is me to help him with it. So we'd appreciate your prayers. We have appreciated your money and your funds that have enabled us to gather up the bits and pieces. We would appreciate your prayers. And if you find yourself with any time in your hands, or you're free at any time, let us know. We can always use a spare set of hands. You may have noticed, and I never noticed until this morning when I was walking past, that I forgot to tidy up the wood shavings on Friday. Even things like that. I know it seems little and it seems inconsequential, but even just the organizing of stuff or making tea or whatever, it's appreciated. So, failing all of those, we appreciate your prayers. There's manual pulling apart and putting together to be done. There's painting to be done, and all sorts of this, that, and the other. Appreciate your prayers and your and all the rest for that. As far as all of the rest of the prayer requests go, we haven't had any other additions, other than to remind you that we still need to be praying for our leaders. It's very, very important that we do so. There's special accountability for people in charge, especially for things in churches, and more so in countries. So please do pray for our country's leaders. The only other thing we have, apart from the blessings that we're thankful for, is Marky Cullen getting himself a job for his year out. So we're glad of that. And of course, we're glad that Taylor made it back safe and sound. So I think that's that. The private prayer requests are for, in this order, not any particular order, but myself and Monica, Ling, Steve, Pat, Will and Norman. If does anybody want their name off or their name on there? We are all good then. I think that's about that. Amen. Do you have something to add, Brother Steve? Yes. Are you going for the blood test? Are you getting the results for the blood test?
Yes.
Go on for that.
If you will, please. I need prayer more than once.
We all need prayers, and I tell you what, we certainly all need prayers. Anything else we need to be thinking on? Yes, brother. Pardon? Sorry?
Any updates on the purchase?
They're looking for a check. So we'll be getting them a check. That's who was asking me about that? Will asked me about it in the car, and this is where we stand. As you know, when my dad had a little tablets miscalculation there about this time last, was it this time last year? He stopped taking his blood pressure tablets. He ended up with us for a month. Prior to that, we cleared my office out and stuff went down to the church. The bookshelves down there have a lot of the books that I had, and some of it is in other bookshelves in the house, and I can't for the life of me find the church checkbook. So I'm going to have to go to the bank tomorrow morning and order another checkbook. And then on Wednesday, I'll have to get somebody else to sign. Oh, are you a trustee in the church? I'll get you to sign it on Monday then and drop it down.
Do what I used to do years
ago. I can't rob banks. I'm a pastor. I am not buying a dodgy Robin Reliant Dell Boy. That's all solicitors and it's all been done. They're a bunch of crooks and I'll be glad to get them off my back. I'll be glad to be done with them, to be quite honest with you. So I'm paying them and I'm getting them gone. So, I'll be editing that out as well. this time together is going to go from an hour and a half down to 45 minutes on the file that goes out to people with all the bits that have to be cut. Right. It's done. That's done and dusted a year ago. Weren't going to get any movement on them. They were just, in fact, I don't even think they had another buyer for it. They are not Christians and we're having to deal with them or we're going to be, evacuated. Is that the word, evicted? So, just pay it and be done. The Bible says, suffer yourself to be defrauded. It doesn't say to be defrauded and then go round to their house and put their windows in and give them a hiding. That's not what it says in the Bible. So, we just need to be prayerfully give them their pound of flesh at the risk of quoting another piece of literature and then just be done with them. That's it. Right. Would you like to pray? Not this evening. Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Heart here, Lord. Speak the needs that they need. I pray that you'd give guiding words, Lord, comfort and words, directing words, Lord, please. Just meet us where we're at and see what we need, Lord, and provide only as you can. Lord, save the lost and our families and amongst our friends. Lord, use us as you see fit, Lord. Give us the answers to questions that souls will have. And help us always to be that example, Lord, that you need for us to be. Lord, be with our sister churches. Meet together with our missionaries. Pray that you provide their needs in these times as well, Lord. Not forgetting the situation in Afghanistan, Lord. Many Christians
there as
well, please. Please protect them, Lord. Provide their needs and get them on there, please, if it be your will. Lord, just again, be with us, we ask. Remember those that are sick, Lord, those that are downcast, Lord. Just provide for them, Lord, please, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Christy.
Well, before you do anything else, did I ask for prayers for the underground church in Afghanistan where those Christians were massacred?
I read about that.
Women and children.
I think did we put that down somewhere?
To protect? I can't remember.
Afghanistan is in under our countries. We know what's going on there, and pity that I heard there was supposed to be something like, is it 150 or 200 American citizens were being allowed by the Taliban to leave the country. I think they should have they should have 200 American citizens coming into the country in F-15s with 1,000-pound bombs on them, and that would soon sort them out. But there you go. Anyway, what did the Lord say? You are not of that spirit.
No, we're not of that spirit.
Amen. 43, if you're fit, let's stand as we sing, we're marching to Zion. Hymn number 43. Come we that love the Lord and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord. And thus surround the throne. And thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion, we're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, walk the golden streets, or walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, that beautiful city of God. Amen. You may be seated. I think we have one more on our schedule before we open our Bibles. That's 250. 250. Burdens are lifted. Calvary. 250.
Days are filled with sorrow and care, hearts are lonely and drear, burdens are lifted at Calvary. is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Amen. All right. Let's take our Bibles this evening, and if you're with me, turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 5 this evening. Nehemiah chapter 5. And title for this evening is For the Fear of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 5, and we're going to read from we're going to read it all. There's only 19 verses in it. Nehemiah chapter 5. For the fear of the Lord. And there was a great cry of the people and of their wives against their brethren the Jews. For there were that said, we, our sons and our daughters, are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were that said, we have mortgaged our lands, our vineyards and houses, that we might buy corn because of the dearth. And there were also that said, we have borrowed money for the king's tribute, and that upon our lands and vineyards. Yet now our flesh is as the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children, and lo, we bring into bondage our sons and our daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and vineyards. And I was very angry when I heard their cry and these words. And I consulted with myself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye exact usury every one of his brother. And I set a great assembly against them. And I said unto them, we, after our ability, have redeemed our brethren the Jews, which are sold unto the heathen. And will ye even sell your brethren? Or shall they be sold unto us? Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. Also I said, it's not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God, because of the reproach of the heathen our enemies? I likewise and my brethren and my servants might exact of them money and corn. I pray you, let us leave off this usury. Restore, I pray you, to them, even this day, their lands, their vineyards, their olive yards, and their houses. Also the 100th part of the money and of the corn, the wine and the oil that ye exact of them. Then said they, we will restore them, and will require nothing of them. So will we do as thou sayest. Then I called the priests and took an oath of them that they should do according to this promise. And also I shook my lap and said, So God shake out every man from his house and from his labour that performeth not this promise. Even thus be he shaken out and emptied. And all the congregation said, Amen, and praised the Lord. And the people did according to this promise. Moreover, from the time that I was appointed to be their governor in the land of Judah, from the 20th even to the 32nd year of Artaxerxes the king, that is 12 years, I and my brethren have not eaten the bread of the governor. But the former governors that had been before me were chargeable unto the people, and had taken of them bread and wine beside 40 shekels of silver. Yea, even their servants bear rule over the people. But so did not I because of the fear of God. Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall, neither bought we any land, and all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Moreover, there were at my table 150 of the Jews and rulers, beside those that came unto us from among the heathen that are about us. Now that which was prepared for me daily was 1 ox and 6 choice sheep. Also fowls were prepared for me, and once in 10 days store of all sorts of wine. Yet for all this required I not of the governor, because the bondage was heavy upon this people. Think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Verse number 15, and just the tail end of it, gives us our title this evening, For the Fear of the Lord. I want to speak a little bit on the subject of what we should and shouldn't be doing. Amen. Well, would you pray for us, brother, please, if you would.
Heavenly Father, give us this night, Lord, give one another and our chosen from the word of God, that we should do, we should obey you, Lord, and we do everything that will please you, Lord, and lift up your standard in this land, Lord. Lord, pray for our land, Lord, give wisdom, and save those that are lost, Lord, especially those in authority, Lord, and guide this land so moral compass is aligned to thee, Lord, and not to man, Lord. Lord, rid out the abortion clinics, Lord, and Lord, remove the gay laws, Lord, and also, Lord, take a deal with the politics and save our souls, especially in the Assembly, and especially in Westminster as well, and save souls by the Lord. Pray for the people in Afghanistan, pray for them, deliver them from any trouble, deliver them from persecution and death, for even accepting thee as Savior, Lord, and accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, Lord, and obeying thy rules, Lord, save those people mightily and powerfully, especially in Afghanistan and other Muslim countries, especially communist countries as well, Lord. Save them mightily, Lord. Pray for our sister churches, Lord, and also churches that are saved, Lord. Have got saved with a pastor or minister, Lord, above them, Lord, that you might use them to point out the divide the word of God and point sinners to the cross, Lord, for salvation, Lord. The new name has been written in the last book of life, even tonight, Lord. Throughout this week, Lord. Bless them, give power to the touch of the Spirit, Lord, and help them to point us more towards thee, Lord, for thy honor and for thy glory, for Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At the beginning of this chapter of Nehemiah, the work is established, and the people of Israel are busy about it. And they've been at it for quite some time, as we were reading here. There was a 12-year span in which the walls in the city were being rebuilt. It's not like rebuilding Bethel, that so far has only taken 2 weeks. You're talking about maybe miles of wall and many, how would you put it, government or governing buildings, palaces and temples and one thing and another, and homes as well. And it was taken a lot of time by a lot of people. There were no JCBs, there were no cranes, there were no airlifts, there was nothing like that. Everything was done by the horse and the cart and brute force and ignorance. And it's gone on for a bit. Now, the situation of the children of Israel was that they were in bondage. They were a conquered people at this time. And that means they had to pay tributes. They had to pay special taxes to their conquering lords. And not only that, but they had to feed themselves and do all the stuff that
that people had to do forby this extra bit of work that was needing done, i.e. the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And so what they have done was, there was a law in the Old Testament that a man could rent out his inheritance for, upwards of 49 years. And at the end of the 49 years, in the year of Jubilee, it would be given back to him again, so that the children of Israel always had a parcel of land, a place to live, regardless of their station, regardless of their education or anything like that. And they'd actually rented all their stuff out. This was just to keep food in their mouths whilst they were occupied rebuilding Jerusalem. And what they were complaining about here was that there were some Jewish nobles that were actually had gone so far as to buy their lands and even their children as slaves. And they were making a truckload of money. There are so many messages that you could get from this portion of God's word. We could talk about how in the face of great disaster, there's always a few that seems to come out smelling of roses. What is it they said? If they fell in the foil, they would come out with a salmon in each pocket. But no matter what happens, they've always got plenty. And these noble men, I am sure they saw nothing but a business opportunity. And they had a bit behind them, a bit of money, a bit of gold, who knows what else. And they seemed to be flourishing under the reign of King Artaxerxes. And they were making merchandise of God's people as God's people were about God's work. And Nehemiah basically said to them, he shamed them in front of all the people. And he said to them, you need to stop that. In fact, to tell you what you do, the Bible actually prohibits a Jew from taking usury from another Jew. It said, restore them everything. And any money that you have taken from them, they're to get 1/100th part of it back. I'm assuming that was the amount that would have been charged in usury. And he said it in front of the people because a lot of times whenever you say that to people in private, as we know from our own political situations across the world, some of these people would promise you the sun, the moon and the stars whenever you're speaking to them in private. But whenever you bring it all out into the open and all out in the presence of all the people, that's a different story altogether. And Nehemiah said, if you don't do this, God will shake you out of his lap as surely as I have shaken the crumbs off of me sandwiches out of my lap. In other words, we'll be done with you. And someone might actually be done with you then after that. And as the chapter progresses on, we read about the children of Israel's treatment at the hands of the state-appointed governor. And what the governors used to do from all of the children of Israel was on top of their taxes, their, I think it was what, 40 shekels, they would take bread and wine from them. In other words, they were a bit heavy-handed with just reminding God's people that they were under bondage. Now bear in mind, God instructed his people. He said, before this all happened, he said, you're going into bondage, and you're going into bondage for a couple of generations, so make yourself comfortable there. Don't fight against it. Take it in the chin. This is your punishment for years and years of ignoring my teaching. So go, accept your punishment, live your lives, be good citizens, but above all, keep your eyes on me. But when Nehemiah came to be the governor of that part of the world, he didn't take anything other than what he needed to take. There was no bread or no wine. He didn't put any extra burden on God's people, the children of Israel. And he got his sustenance elsewhere. Now,
It says that he didn't do this for fear of the Lord, because he loved the Lord, and he loved the Lord's people, and he wasn't going to put a burden on them that they didn't need, or a burden on them, excuse me, that would make their lives more difficult. And I want for you to understand this. This is the part of the scriptures that we're really interested in this evening. It would have been very easy for Nehemiah just to take the place of the existing governor and for him to keep taking this off the people. It would have been so easy, because it was expected that the governor would keep taking the taxes. It was also legal that the governor would keep taking the taxes. And to cap it all off, and this is where we tend to go wrong in this day and age, it would have made him exceedingly rich to take all those extras off of the people. If I was to say to you, I am going to take one penny off of you every day, you would think, I could lose that every day and never miss it, and it wouldn't mean anything to you. But if I said I'm going to take one penny off of everybody in Northern Ireland every day, that's a different story. That's about, what, 200,000? Something like that. Pounds. Or 20,000. Yeah, I think it's more like 20,000 pounds a day. And nobody would miss it. And this is what we see our politicians doing today. And this is what Nehemiah could have done. But because he loved the Lord, he never took or governed as harshly as the previous governor. In fact, even the governor's servants were keeping doing the same thing. He loved the Lord, and he was going to make sure that he never did anything wrong, even if it appeared to the world to be right. So he stopped. He just quit doing it. Why would he go to make life more difficult for God's people? And here's the thing about stopping, and here's one of the, I'm sure you can probably think of a few more things. I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list of what happens whenever you stop doing bad things. When you stop doing bad things, it makes them hard for the next person to start doing them again, because the people get used to a better life. And it makes life easier for those people. And people would know where that ease or that respite came from. It was because one man feared the Lord. And they would respect him. And they would follow him. And they would understand that Nehemiah was God's anointed man. It's worth remembering and worth thinking on, because with all of the things that are going on today, with all of the distractions and with all of, literally, information is coming at us like water out of a proper fire hose, whereas back in the day, it would have been like dripping on our head. It would have been more like the Chinese water torture. A drip here and a drip there, a wee bit of news here and a wee bit of news there. Now, we know what's going on in Afghanistan as soon as it happens. There's our rumors of war. There's a lot of things that are going on in this world today. A lot of things that are easy. A lot of things that are common. A lot of things that make a lot of people rich. A lot of things that are legal. But a lot of things that aren't right. And where we want severely is in having people that fear God walking in the corridors of power. I'm just going to throw a few out there, and for the fear of the Lord, Nehemiah didn't do this. He started doing the right thing, but for the fear of the Lord, maybe we as God's children, his kings and priests, we should be considering what it is that we do and what it is that we don't do. And not appealing to other people's sense of what's right and wrong, but appealing to the Word of God. for what's right and wrong. And I know you're going to get people saying, oh, you're a fundamentalist. Why, thank you. God never changes yesterday, today, and forever, and neither should our worship and praise and our behavior around him or our treatment of him and his people and the things he sends our way. We ought to be consistent. And not just consistent, but desiring to be better. Not relaxing and becoming worse. One of the big things that is so common, especially in Northern Ireland, is the drinking, the alcohol. I remember my brother Philip, who did a little bit of research one time, and many moons ago, and he shared a little bit of it with me, and he said one of the reasons for the great drinking problems in Northern Ireland and the south of Ireland is because, well, it's because of the treatment of the Irish by the British. And the way the lands were taken, and all that they did to forget it all was, well, boil poaching, and as Norman was saying earlier on, have a shindig from time to time. And it was awful. But you know what? That was hundreds of years ago. But it shows you how those things can stay there as part of the culture. And if you're not out getting drunk and having good crack, you're not having a good time. As somebody once said to me, how do you have a good time if you don't drink? And I said exactly the same thing back to them. How do you have a good time if you do drink? You don't remember it and all you're doing is hurting your body. How is that a good time? For the fear of the Lord, we ought to refrain from drinking. And just in case anybody makes any comment, what about the temperance movement? To be temperate, to be moderate in all things. Does anybody know what a moderator is on the end of a rifle? A moderator on the end of the rifle grabs the bang as it comes out of the barrel and does what? Squelches it. It slows the bullet down and squelches the sound. In fact, it does its best to stop it altogether. Does anybody know what a moderator does in a discussion? When one side or the other gets too animated or starts to take or shout or raise their voices or become unreasonable, the moderator squelches that person and shuts them up. Gives the other person a chance. And when we are called to be moderate in all things, it doesn't mean a little bit of what you fancy. It means to cut that out altogether and to exercise your self-control. It's the same as temperate. It's to control. To control your urges, to control your lusts. Because getting saved doesn't get rid of them. It just gives you another option and the strength to follow that godly, supernatural option. One of the other great plagues upon society today is immorality. It is a blight on society. It's interesting. What is bisexual, lesbian, intersex, gay, heterosexual, and transgender? That's what blight stands for. And that's what happens when you try and make all of those others equal to heterosexuality. You get a blight. It literally spells the word blight. And immorality of any color, any shade, any flavor, whatever way you want to describe it, is wrong. And for the fear of the Lord, and for the love of other men's souls, we need to abstain from it. The thing about it is that it's everywhere. We walk into Tesco's Family Supermarket or Sainsbury's, and you've got magazines with naked bodies on them, and naked bodies in them. You open a newspaper, and there's naked bodies in them. You take a drive through a town on a Friday evening or a Saturday evening, and there's all but naked bodies running all around the place. Sexual immorality is one of the greatest blights, one of the greatest destroyers of testimonies and lives that has ever graced the face of this earth. And for the fear of the Lord, and when I'm talking about the fear of the Lord, I mean the deep respect and obedience towards the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ought to not have anything to do with it. We can love the sinner and hate the sin. It doesn't mean we hate homosexuals or lesbians or any people that associate themselves with any of the letters in the word blight. But we do hate the sin because we know full well what indulging that sin will do to a soul. The Word of God tells us in Romans chapter 1 that following that sort of lifestyle will leave you at such a point in your life where God will just say, well, if that's what you want, I'm not going to bother you anymore, and will leave you to it. Imagine God being done with you. And I am sure we're thankful that God wasn't. We also have, and we've had it mentioned in our prayers, gay marriage. A lot of people think, well, God blesses marriage. And he does. The marriage between a man and a woman that aren't in another relationship with anybody else, that have forsaken all others. But to tell someone that, to put these two words together, gay and marriage, gives people a deep down false impression that God has blessed a union between two men or a union between two women. And that's not the case. It is a false sense of security. In fact, it reminds me of an account of a man in the Second World War who was working on a battleship, and he was, did you ever see the old life jackets? They were literally blocks of some floating material, and they were all stitched onto a vest. And this thing was catching on him everywhere he went. It was catching on hooks. It was catching on stairs. And in a fit of pique, after many weeks of this thing annoying him, he whipped it off and threw it into water, and the thing sank. And he thought, I thought I was safer with that. But I wasn't. Gay marriage is a lie from the devil. And we ought to have our firmly formed opinions taken from the Word of God in our hearts and ready to explain in love to anybody that asks, look, and the reasons why. And not just say, oh, this is what my pastor says. You should know why. God says gay marriage is wrong. And for the fear of the Lord, we ought to understand it. And if you know someone that's involved in that lifestyle, you should take time to study it up so that you can explain it in love to them. One of the things that I have noticed over the years, well, over my eBay years, is that there's a lot of stuff for sale on eBay. I remember being little, if you wanted to collect something, if it wasn't for sale in the corner shop, remember like your wee football cards or Star Wars cards or Marvel cards? Well, forget it. You might be able to write to the company and get them, but all you need to do now is whatever goes through your head, type it onto Google, and sooner or later you will end up on an eBay page or an Amazon page. And some people get so bogged down in things. The Bible calls it an inordinate affection. And basically what it is for Christians is putting something in front of God. I want you to understand that when you put God first, that doesn't mean God alone. It means that God will direct you and give you the wisdom and strength to put everything else in your life in the proper place, in the proper order. And I know those orders change a little bit from time to time as life goes on. Be careful of getting bogged down or turned to one side with things and stuff. You know, there's a lot of other things. There's bad language. Have you ever noticed how much people swear these days? You can't walk for very many yards anywhere when you're out in public and not hear someone taking the Lord's name in vain or using the F word or and a bunch of other words. And it's almost like getting a slap. For the fear of the Lord and for the saving of men's souls, we ought to refrain from using bad language. We ought to control our affections. We, up until about 2 years ago, I would have said we live at a time whenever people just follow the first thought that comes into their head. They live lives of pleasure and ease. And let's be honest, a great many people do. You know what? There's no harm in having a good time. Sensible Christian good time. But whenever good times become all that you're interested in, you need to give yourself a shake, and you need to set yourself up on your two feet, and you need to appeal to the Lord and ask Him and say, look, there's more to life than thrills and adrenaline jags. And for the fear of the Lord, we ought to consider what direction our lives are going. I remember a man that claimed to be a Christian and claimed to be a Christian for years but could never get out to church on a Sunday because there was a football match on at 11 or 12 o'clock. You have to wonder. Sports, entertainment, video games, all of these things. It just seems to be that just about anything the world, the flesh and the devil will use to deter you, to redirect you away from serving the Lord. And again, I want to say, whenever the preacher speaks, any preacher speaks about serving the Lord, it doesn't mean that someone's going to come along and put an iron collar around your neck and chains on your hands and manacles on your feet, and you'll only be able to do a wee shuffle. You've seen them doing it on prison shows and whatnot on TV. That's not the way it works. It works, is it in Matthew... Is it Matthew 11? Was it Matthew 11 or Matthew 7? Where it says, where God says, to take His yoke upon us and learn of Him. For He's meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest to your souls. And how many times whenever Norman and I have been working, or indeed any of us have been working, and they say, you need something to do. You need something to accomplish. You need the satisfaction in your heart of having done something. It gives you, it G's you up and helps point you in the right direction. And it's okay to accomplish something, but it's great to accomplish something for God. And that's why we ought to refrain from allowing our lives to be centered around stuff and sensation and thrills and popular opinion. And sometimes grab it by the scruff of the neck and point it in the direction that we want to go. You know, like an unruly pup that needs to be constantly pulled into line. Anybody that's ever raised dogs knows what I'm talking about. We need directed. And there is no better than the Word of God. A few years back, I had my one and only opportunity to be on TV. And I was asked by, I think it was that pillar of spiritual greatness, Steve Nolan. That's all in quotes, by the way, with my tongue firmly on my cheek. Pastor Bradfield, what do you think of homosexuality? I said, the Bible says it's wrong. He said to me, but what do you think about it? He says, the act of homosexuality is wrong. God hates homosexuality. He doesn't hate the homosexual, but He hates the homosexual. He hates the act, the behavior. He says, but what do you think? He says, I'm allowed to think what the Bible says. I'm allowed to. I don't, I'm not brainwashed, I'm blood washed. And it'll not take you very many years living the Christian life and leaning on the Lord before you understand why it is the Bible is the way it is and why it says the things it says. It's because it's right for us and it works for us. We need it. For fear of the Lord, for the love of men's souls, we ought to be Christians. You know what a Christian is? Someone that behaves like Jesus and acts like Jesus, and people say, do you know what? You remind me of Jesus, or words to that effect. And you know what? If you're claiming to be a Christian, that means you're in full-time Christian service. And that term has always niggled me of late. That doesn't mean you have to be up here. Because I'm not in full-time Christian service. For at least the past 2 weeks, I've been part-time Christian service and part-time construction. But the Word of God says you and I are to be in full-time Christian service. That means Christians 24/7. That we should do all things is unto God, as if he was standing just beside us. Should that mean even if your blood pressure is going through the roof and you're grinding your teeth, that you catch a grip of yourself and straighten yourself out because God is right beside you? Should that be the way it has to be, or should you be serving him with smiles and dancing and jumping up in the air because everything's going your way? We're all Christians. And I say Christians, we're not all Christians. We are all, Christians in full-time service. If you're saved, you are from that moment on in full-time service to the Lord. And we ought to deport ourselves properly. We ought to speak like Christians. We ought to dress like Christians. We ought to go to Christian places, and we ought to mind Christian activities. And we ought to, on all of the other things that we do them properly. I remember a man who claimed to be a Christian selling his testimony for a couple of pounds. Crazy that. Let himself down a bucket full and the Lord for only a couple of pounds. I remember a man that he used to have a sticker for the church in the back of his car. But he used to be an awful driver. He was forever losing his license. And he was pulled one time. I actually got a phone call. So-and-so tore past me going up the road at 80 or 90 miles an hour. And he has your church name and number in the back of his car. Why does everyone think of Brother Stan? It wasn't Brother Stan. Poor Brother Stan. And so this man, being appropriately given the heads up by me, said, I have a solution, Pastor. He took the sticker off his car. Didn't straighten himself out. He didn't wind down the adrenaline input whenever he was driving. He just stopped giving people the opportunity to think he was a Christian. Probably did the Lord a favor in doing that too. And that's a bad sign. Because we ought to be flying the flag for Jesus. And if that means we don't get to do what we want to do here and there, then so be it. Offer it up on the altar to God Almighty. And I personally guarantee you that when you are done with whatever God has put in your plate, the time that you have left will be even sweeter than the things that you thought you needed to or wanted to do. And I know I go back to old examples. But I used to love Star Trek, and I used to love it so much that I would only leave myself like 10 minutes
to get from Kilfenan to here and into church. And many's a time, depending on the traffic, I was only getting in halfway through the first hymn or when the first hymn was over. And the Lord started to deal with me about it. And he said, you know, church is open 15 or 20 minutes before they are. Why don't you get down there? I said, but Lord, I miss the end of Star Trek. Do you see an ordinate affection anywhere? And the Lord said, you have two video recorders sitting under your TV. Why don't you just press the button on one of them at 6 o'clock and go to church at 6:30 and enjoy the fellowship. And then when you get home, you can make yourself a cup of tea and a bit of toast and you can watch it to your heart's content. And do you know what? I enjoyed it more after that. I know it seems stupid and it's a wee thing, but it's a great example. For the fear of the Lord, for the love of the Lord and what he said I should do, even though first time through it didn't make any sense to me. He did it. And it was a stupid thing, and it was a worldly thing, but I did it his way. And you know what? I enjoyed it all the more. There is a great dearth of the love for the Lord in the world today, even in churches. For all that he's done for us, a lot of people are going to be ashamed when they stand in glory. I'm not picking on anybody, I'm talking about churches in general. For all that he's done for us, including changing our eternal destination, wiping out our sin debt, giving us the Holy Spirit to live with us every moment of every day, constraining us, in other words, giving us a set of rules that will keep us right, and directing us whenever we're in the middle of doing whatever it is we're doing. We ought to behave like the Messiah that not only gave us his life, but also gave us his name. Christy spoke months back on the book of Acts, a little place called Antioch, where it said the believers were called Christians first in Antioch. And that's what we should strive for. Whenever people are talking about the fear of the Lord, and I've mentioned it over and over, you know I'm not talking about like this. Fear of the Lord, chewing your nails off with your knees knocking together. We're talking about a deep respect for the Lord and a hurry to obey the Lord whenever he calls and a love for the Lord for all that he has done for us. He gave us his life and he gives us his name. And for that love and deep respect that we have for him, we ought to change our lives accordingly. It might seem like a push whenever you start doing it, but I guarantee you, your life will be second to none whenever you do it God's way. Amen. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. Amen. Let's see. I think I have one or two hymns here that I would like. I'm not going to sing them all. There it is. 150. My faith has found a resting place. If you'd like to stand as we sing, that's great. If not, remain seated. But as long as you make a joyful noise. It's not that. That's it.
My faith has found a resting place, not in the vice nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. Thank you all again. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and watching over us. Please be with, Lord, this evening, not just us as we go home, but our brothers and sisters across the world, our missionaries, Lord, those that are striving through organizations to do your will, Lord, bless those that are really in it for the real reason and hinder those that aren't. Lord, hinder all those that would make merchandise off of your children. And Father, I pray, help us and keep us. Give us every portion of wisdom, strength, encouragement and direction that we can possibly use, Lord, to make our way through this life and to point souls to the foot of the cross. We love you and thank you and pray you, Lord, about our prayer requests earlier on. I pray that you would grant them according to your will. And Lord, we ask all these things and we pray too for our missing brethren this evening. And in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit.